I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 27. Most of the time I pull text from the New International Wording, or sometimes I'll use New King James, or sometimes I'll use New American Standard. But this morning I want to go back to the King James Version of Scripture, and because there's certain wording here that carries the greater impact of my message this morning. Let me, I was reading something the other day, and I saw in the news that February is some kind of spectacular month as far as the astrology and, the alignment of a planets and all like that's concerned. Not that I'm given over to signs of the zodiac, because I'm not, but I was reading something about there's a particular day that I think it's Mars and Venus, or Mars and Saturn, and the Earth are going to come into alignment. And this is all different moons. Yeah. Do y'all ever remember all these moons when you were younger? Like the blood moon and the white moon and the blue moon and I don't remember all that stuff. Maybe I was just missing out. But anyway, it was talking about all these things are coming into alignment in the month of February. Okay. And, it makes me think, I'm gonna chase a rabbit here if you'll permit me just a minute. So, any of y'all remember back in probably, I'm thinking it was the 1990s, those of you that are older, you remember when Hale-Bopp the comet came by Earth and you could see it? Any of y'all remember that? Okay. Only a pastor will get a call at 3 a.m. in the morning when it is about 10 degrees above zero. And you answer the phone, and this was back in the day when we still had regular phones in the house. And I answered the phone, and it said, "Pastor, this is Lisa. Have you been outside to see Hale-Bopp?" I said, "What?" She said, "Have you been out to see Hale-Bopp?" I said, "Lisa, what's Hale-Bopp?" She said, "That star that's going by the earth." I said, "No, I haven't." And she said, "Well, I just wanted to let you know you could see it really good." So being the good pastor that I try to be, I looked over to my late wife and I said, she said, "Who was that?" I said, "That was Lisa. She was telling me that Hale-Bopp's outside." She said, "So what are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to go outside and look at it." So there's a little bit of snow on, and I went outside in the yard to look at Hale-Bopp the comet at 3 a.m. in the morning, just because a good church member had took the time to call and let me know. So everything's falling in alignment. But I said all that to say this: whether you realize it or not, the Holy Spirit's at work bringing everything into alignment this morning. Sarah, in Alicia's absence, led the One Adult Life Group this morning. And if you haven't never been to a life group, please try one. You can't say you don't like it if you haven't tried it. It's not going to cost you but an extra 45 minutes or an hour. Come check out a life group. But Sarah, and the lesson that Alicia had left her that we went through in life group, to come in here to the songs that were sung today and the direction that I'm going with this message this morning. This is the message that I had lined up for last week, okay? I'll be very frank about it. But I felt like that God needed us to hear this message, and John did a great job last week, but I feel like this is a word that the Lord has for us as a church. Psalms 27. I gotta hurry up because I'm running out of time. Psalms 27. We're gonna read that entire chapter, if you would. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" One of our famous presidents says, "What do we have to fear but fear itself?" This is more weighty than that. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come up to eat up my flesh, They stumbled, past tense, and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, and in the secret place of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above my enemies round about me, and therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy, and I will sing, yea, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy upon me and answer me. When Thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not Thy face from me, far from me, but put not Thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path, because deliver me not from unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I want to minister to you, and that's a bit blackened. I'm sorry. It never looks the way on the screen the way it does on my computer. But I want to preach to you this morning with the thought in mind, fighting your fears. Fighting your fears. Do you realize that, or do you know someone that tends to get emotional? You know somebody that tends to get emotional? Men, don't be looking at your wives right now. Okay? Do you tend to know somebody that gets emotional? The truth of the matter is, we all get emotional at some point, sometime, to some degree. Every single one of us get emotional. The reason why is, we all are given emotion in the sense that we're given a mind. Is there anybody in here that doesn't have their mind? Sometimes my wife tells me, have you lost your mind? I usually find it. Emotions are not necessarily what we do. That's what we observe. That's what we look upon. We think of emotions being things such as crying or getting angry and slinging stuff or throwing something, being excited. But those are not really emotions. Those are rather the results of the emotions. The emotion actually occurs in our mind. That's where emotions happen. Emotions are defined in one of the great dictionaries in this wording. Emotions are defined as the natural instinctive state of mind. The natural instinctive state of mind deriving from one's circumstances, mood, or relationships with others. So the emotion actually occurs in our mind, while the outward reaction is more so the product of our emotion. The study of psychology identifies that there are thousands of types of emotions that occur in our mind. But there are 27 emotions that are classified as complex emotions. Complex emotions are considered to be comprised of multiple emotions that actually collide together. You know, did y'all hear the thunder the other day? thundering in February, and snow's coming Wednesday. Bless our little hearts. Thunder is the noise, if you would, of two systems colliding, cold and hot, if you would, to put it in simplistic terms, high and low pressure. So complex emotions is much like thunder. It's systems that are colliding. Out of those 27 complex emotions, there are accounted or attributed to, if you would, those 27 complex emotions, 15 separate emotional reactions. I'm not going to name all of those 15 reactions today because we don't have time. But the one I am going to name and the one I'm focusing on this morning is the one that we know as fear. Fear is a complex emotion. A complex emotion that is fueled by threats. Threats that can either be real or sometimes they can be perceived. The other day I was coming up 77 and I know that they have been, for those of you that don't realize this, when you get there at Rocky Gap, the Bland County Sheriff's Department, they're taking pictures while you go by. And then they'll mail you something in the mail, but it's not your portrait. Okay? I buzzed through there the other day at 74 mile an hour, and I just caught a glimpse of that little white sheriff's car sitting up in the field and the guy with his tripod out. I just knew that I had gotten a ticket. Well, if I have, it hasn't arrived yet. But as slow as the mail is, who knows? But I was just, I texted, I said, I probably have gotten a ticket. It's in a construction zone. It's going to be double what the usual cost would normally be. Well, I haven't seen it yet, okay? And hopefully I won't. But fear overcome me when I looked up in my mirror and I saw that guy standing up on that bank with that little camera. You see, sometimes fears are actual threats, but then sometimes fears are perceptions, if you would. But what happens, perceptions become our reality. So perceptions are, even if it's true or real, actual experience, they all fuel the perplexing characteristics of our emotion that we know as fear. Things that we need to know about fear is that fear is common. Fear is common. And because fear is common, it isn't necessarily wrong to have fear. I'm not saying if you have fear that you're not of God. I'm not saying if you have fear you have little, that you lack faith. I'm not criticizing you to have fear. In fact, I just told you that I have fear. I have fears of a lot of different things, actually. Fear is something that we all deal with. Actually, fear is something that can be beneficial to us. Because now that I have fear of that little SUV setting up on the bank with that camera taking pictures, I slow down for the construction zone now. Because nobody tells me on Waze that he's setting up there. Because they don't see him. Fears are good for us because fears sometimes protect us. Some things are to be feared. Fear is common. It's not necessarily wrong. It's a basic sense. Fear is defined as an emotional response to a perceived threat. Sometimes fear can keep us out of trouble or harm's way. But fear can also be fortifying, but it also can be crippling. And in those beneficial fears, those are beneficial fears that motivate us, take us to the place where we avoid impending dangers or difficulties. If you realize this, you may not realize this, but if you search it out, there are more than 160 scriptural references to the benefit or the necessity of fearing God. Now that's not a fear like we typically think of, but it's a reverential fear of, it's respecting or reverencing His greatness. That is a fortress of faith that we can build on. So not all fear is necessarily bad, but some fear is crippling to us. And that's the fear I want to talk to you about this morning. There are crippling fears. Some of the fears that cripple us are phobias, sometimes we call this, and are the number one fear among humanity, at least according to AI and the internet, is the fear of snakes. But do you realize very few people ever get snake bit? And very few people that get snake bit actually die from the snake bite. But yet we fear, and I'm one of them. When it get, I don't mess around. I'm out in the barn out there at my dad's place, old place and everything. I don't mess around unless it's cold weather because I'm fearful of getting on a copperhead or something, or, you know, one of them rattlesnakes or something like that. I don't care what color they are. I don't want them around me, okay? We fear spiders and snakes. You don't like spiders and snakes? That ain't what it takes to love me. We can be afraid of the dark. We can be afraid of clowns. I've never figured that one out, but some people are. We can be afraid of flying. You know, it's all over the news now. Every day a plane crashes, okay? Sarah and I are flying this week, but I'm not worried about it myself. We can be fearful of water. I had a near drowning experience one time, and water is not my favorite thing to do, but yet I like going on cruises because you're on that great old big ship. A few years ago, do you all remember do you remember the mass fear that was over this disease they called COVID? C-19. There's some people still fearful of that today. There are people that are living, if you would, in a certain degree of torment because worried about they're going to get COVID. There's people, we have fear over finances that somehow we're not going to have the finances to do what we need to do. There's the fear of death, the unknown of death. There's the fear of our family, of the well-being of our family. Some people just have a fear of being in public. Do you realize that? I did a funeral this week. One of two funerals that I did. I did a funeral for one fella that it was a very private funeral. It was very much like his life. He would not be in public. He would not be in public. He couldn't do people. He couldn't handle being around people. There's people, and this is a broad one too, that there's people that fear rejection. You may not admit it, but we all like people to like us. The last thing we want is somebody to not like us. So we're fear of rejection. We're afraid if we get up and preach a message that somebody's not going to receive it. We're afraid if we sing a song that somebody's not going to accept it. We're afraid if we give up and give a testimony that somebody's not going to like it. You're afraid to... You younger ones, the unmarried ones, you're afraid to ask that girl out because you're afraid she'll say no. Or you're afraid to flirt with that boy because he'll reject you. You see, it's that fear of rejections. Some fears are rational while some are a bit more irrational. But regardless, John the Beloved knew what he was talking about in 1 John 4:18 when he wrote the words, three words, fear hath torment. Fear hath torment. Because fear is an emotion, fear can be the result of something that is really there, but again, it can also be something that is just perceived to exist. Not to downplay the things that are reality, but our perception all too often becomes our reality, as I've already mentioned. The enemy of our souls brings attacks upon our minds through our through our imagination. Have you not read the scripture that says to cast down every thought and every imagination. Some of us deal with things that are maybe not even there. I'm not saying we're wacko. I'm not saying we're crazy, but I'm saying the enemy assaults our minds with worries and doubts and ultimately fears that we shouldn't be worried about. It's estimated that we never encounter 85 to 90% of the things that we fear. We will never encounter them. But yet, we bless my late wife's heart. She had a fear of getting on the interstate. Some of you all have that problem. I can sense it in my spirit right now. Some of you are scared to get on the interstate and drive. She was fearful a tractor trailer was going to run over her. You know what? She passed away in her bedroom with a heart attack. Never run over by a tractor trailer. There's fears that control us and keep us bound. So no matter if the fear is genuinely sustained or if the enemy is just bringing rampant, unfounded thoughts into our minds, we are affected by these fears. As some of the adverse effects of fears. The first one is physical illness. Our physical health is weakened as anxiety overtakes our bodies. Things like sleeplessness occur, eating disorders, we get ulcers, stomach ulcers, cardiac ailments such as hypertension, stroke, heart attack, and on occur. A plethora of other physical illnesses happen related to stress. In fact, it is estimated that 90% of all physical illness is directly connected back to stress or fears in some fashion or another. Wow. The second thing that happens with fear is fear will rob us of our happiness. Now, I know every day is not tiptoeing through the tulips. I understand every day is not perfect. If you think my day is perfect, you messed up. You ought to have been with me on this ride the last 6 weeks or so, you know, while we've been doing this remodel and some things and then the normal everyday other occurrences of life. Listen, fear will rob us of our happiness. Fear casts a shadow. Fear will cast that shadow, its shadow of depression over our lives that prohibit us from enjoying the blessing of God. Our fears will cause us, it's just like myself, you know, I have that fear of water. And there's probably certain things I would love. I marvel at people that ride ski-doos. It's like a motorcycle on water. But my fear will never allow me to wear one. I don't care how many life jackets you put on me. I will never wear one. And I'll never ride one. I should say I'll never wear one. I will wear a life jacket. But I will never ride one of those ski-doos. You see, our fears can rob us of things that otherwise we might find some pleasure and some happiness in. Our fears will even rob us of finding our joy in the Lord. Thirdly, fear is debilitating. It was fear that caused the wealthy business tycoon Howard Hughes. And if you don't know who that is, you know, look it up and Google it sometime. Howard Hughes, a wealthy business tycoon, had everything he could possibly wanted in the world. And Howard Hughes became a recluse and he lived in hotel rooms and he secluded himself from the public eye. He was afraid he would catch a disease. He was afraid something was going to happen to him. And even though he had everything there was to have in the world, he had nothing. because of fear. Fear disabled him. Fear brought him to a place of do nothing. Fear causes us to become physically and socially dysfunctional. While all the time, God is calling us to be community. Okay? If you're dealing with that, if you're dealing with social fears, you're dealing with those things, it doesn't make you a bad person. But what I said, the enemy is trying to rob you of being everything that God wants you to be. According to medical science, again, the emotion of fear overtakes the cortex portion of the brain, which is the part that leads us to rational thinking. One medical article I was reading as I was preparing actually stated that fear has the ability to freeze or to paralyze the cortex of the brain. Fear can mentally disable us. Fear does not come from God. Fear will bring memory loss. Fear will cause us to forget what God has said. Fear will cause us to forget what God has said. Fear will cause us to forget what God has done. We used to get, remember that old song we used to sing? We used, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me all just in time. And then fear comes and all of a sudden we forgot about, look what the Lord has done. Fear will cause us to have memory loss. It'll cause us to have memory loss that this says you are the head and you are not the tail. Fear will cause us to forget about what the Lord has done in our life, and He brought me through this valley. He's going to take me through the next valley. Fear causes us to have memory loss. And that's why it is so important for you and I, that we get into this right here. Because it's important that we study this word. It's important that we learn this word. It's important that we retain this word in our knowledge. Even when we don't know what we're going to say, the word will come alive to us. The word is our, listen, this right here is our true defense against fear. Think about when Jesus had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And the temptations of Satan came. Satan came to tempt him, to buffet him. And as Satan came, and on all three occasions, when Satan tempted Jesus, as it would be, Jesus didn't say, I rebuke you, Satan. Nah. But what he did say is, it is written. You see, we can combat Satan with the Word of God. You can combat fears, the imaginations of your heart. Listen to me. If you have to write down scriptures and put them on index cards, and I remember I don't know why I'm referring to her so much today, but my late wife had stickers all over the bathroom mirror to encourage her. Today, I shall not fear. You shall not fear. You shall not. Stick stickers up with scriptures on them. Put them on your phone ringer or whatever you have to do. But make sure you encourage yourself in the word of the Lord, and you remind the fears when they arise up in your life. Fear. Emotion. Devil. Because it is written. Whom shall I fear? And memory loss is abolished as we remember the Word of God. And then fear stunts our growth If you look at me, you'd probably say, boy, he's the most fearful person in the world. If I had not quit growing when I did, I would probably be at least 6'4" rather than 5'4". Okay? But I quit in the sixth grade. Seriously. I quit growing up. However, after I got out of the 12th grade, I started growing out. Okay? Fear will stunt our growth. Fear will stunt our growth. Upon allowing the negative impact of fear to control our lives, what happens is we are not permitting God to fulfill His wishes through us. We got to fight back. We got to fight, and we fight back with the Word of God. But fear will stunt our growth. The Apostle Paul addressed such impact with young Timothy when he said, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the power of love, and of a sound mind." God wants us. He wants us to operate in liberty. He wants us to operate in freedom. He wants us to have soundness of mind and clarity of thought. He don't want our minds overwhelmed and overtaken with fears about things that may not even be there, that may not even be a reality, that probably 80 to 90% of the time are never going to happen. God does not want us to be overcome with those fears, but He's given us the power of love, a mind of love, power, and a sound mind. And that same apostle, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the church at Philippi these words: "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything," listen to this. Let me read this. Let me get up close and personal on this. Paul wrote to the church, "Be anxious for nothing." In other words, he said, don't suffer anxiety over anything. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Okay? That's a semicolon there. That sentence is not done. But let me pause just a minute. The power of the Word, when coupled with prayer, becomes even more powerful. The Word and prayer are your combatants against the fear that would like to overpower you. Finish the sentence in verse 7. He said, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds." Where does your emotion lie? Did I not do very good? Where does your emotion lie? In your mind. Fear is what? An emotion. And fear lies within your mind and my mind. But Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and let the peace of God, which surpasses understanding," you can't explain it, it will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He said, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. and the things which you have learned and received and heard of me. There you go, back to the scripture again. That's where we learn, that's where we hear, and that's where we receive. These things do, and the God of peace will be with you. Let me tell you something. Peace can overshadow the fear in your life. What did Jesus say when those old boys were out on the sea? Y'all heard this story, I know. They were out on the sea and the storm comes up on the Sea of Galilee, a typhoon. It was bad. And when Jesus came to them, what did he say? Peace, be not afraid. Peace, be still. These things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in the regard to need, for I have learned whatsoever state I am in to be content. You know why Paul could be content? Because he wasn't being dominated by fear. Fear was not overcoming Paul. And let me tell you something. If anybody had anything to be fearful of, Paul did. But Paul said, I've learned whatever state I'm in. I've learned there to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. And everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. See, Paul identified the key to everything there. Because Paul realized this life is not about me, but this life is about him. I have nothing to fear. I mentioned that president that said that. He said, I have nothing to fear but fear itself. And while that's not scripture necessarily, it was a good word. Fear will rob us. Fear will steal from us. Fear will make us sick. Fear will cause us to be disabled, if you would. Fear will wreak havoc over our lives. But the Lord said, fear not, for I am with you all the way to the end of the world. I am with you. I am with you. I am for you. So fear. I've asked them to sing this song real quickly. And John, you can dash off of my outline there. Go back to those lyrics if you would. But I want you to think about this song as Pam leads us. Meditate on the worship and the words of the song.
Told you you're not good enough when he told you you're not right. When he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight. Told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough. He is a liar, he will take your breath, stop you in your steps.